Polemics to the Notion of Anthropology. This polemic on work features Peter Dunn and Lorraine Leeson.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
How do you see your own cultural practice in relation to the theory and the strategies you had developed?
Well, I think we have to start with, in some way, kind of defining what culture is in the sense that we're talking, because a lot of people have, when they talk about culture, they mean high culture, which is the opera, all that kind of stuff. What we're referring to is the fabric of social relations, of the way we organize ourselves in relation to others and so forth, and as such as a reflection of ideology, either structurally, that is to say, a certain aspect of culture, where its function, where it functions in society, what's its role in society on one level, and on another level the perceptions it offers. And in that sense we could say the mainstream of our culture is the mass media, television and so on, and advertising. And we have to then decide, okay, like in relation to power, where do we stand? Because cultural production can't be neutral in the sense that whether it might be unconscious or whether it might be confused, it either supports the dominant ideology or it opposes it. And I mean, having established that, in a sense, the way we're working is that we want to oppose the dominant ideology, then we have to decide where we locate ourselves in relation to the dominant ideology, and the question of context then becomes crucial, in the sense that if we come from a background of visual art, if we were to operate exclusively within the art context, then that structural role, that structural position, would actually deny the political purposes that we're involved in on one level. And on another level, operation within that context, the kinds of perceptions which it deals in order to reinforce that context, is also totally the opposite way around to the issues that we're dealing with. In that sense, we see the question of context as being crucial. And in working outside of an art context and being concerned with social and political issues, then on the one hand, you have to transform the practice. I mean, transform the cultural practice, not only in terms of its the perceptions it offers, but also its structural position in society. And secondly, to engage in the political and social struggle to bring about the kind of society that we're interested in.
Well, then, can you describe in more detail your involvement in the social-political context in which you've been working?
Yes, I think I'll mention...
Wait.
A little bit about some work. We've done two pieces of work, really, in this area. We've been involved in sort of two areas. I'll mention a little bit about the first, because there are certain pitfalls. It's very different way to the way we're working now. The first time we started to work in this way was we worked in two towns. One is in the suburbs of London, and one's in the northeast in England, in the mining area. And we were concerned with building up a sort of a people's history, showing the development of people's lives in these towns from the turn of the century to the present day, but looking specifically at the forces that have changed people's lives, the kind of manipulations that have gone on, the kind of things that determine changes. And the way people are now living. And we emphasised, it was called The Present Day Creates History, because it was it was mainly emphasizing what is happening now, what changes, what manipulations are going on now to change people's lives. Now, the way in which that work sort of differed from what we're doing now is that we were trying to instigate something. We went into an area and we tried to create some kind of critical look a critical look at people's lives, at themselves, which I think is a bit unrealistic and I think is a bit presumptuous. What we're doing now, we're working in connection with a campaign. It's a campaign against the health cuts in Britain. And part of the health cuts is the closure of hospitals. And we were working in an area in East London, which is a deprived area in London, called Bethnal Green. And there was a campaign just started, and we were asked if we would make a videotape, first of all, to be used in the campaign. So basically our work has been in two areas for this working for the hospital. First of all, we've tried to do work that can be used by the campaign to drum up public support. And so it's an immediate thing. So in this area, what we've done is, first of all, a videotape, which is a short tape that can be shown in local tenants' associations, union meetings, support meetings. Very sort of short, precise. It puts across the case very precisely. Although it's not necessarily the quality that could go on television. It was made very quickly in a matter of about 6 months. And the second part of that work was a poster campaign. And these posters were to come out during a reprieve period that the hospital was given. They were given 3 months' reprieve, in which time the regional health authority was going to, or the area health authority was looking for more money from the region to try and keep it open, although I'm not too sure if they'll look very hard. But this was to keep up the impetus of public support during that time. So there's 500 posters being issued once a month for that side of things. Another aspect of the work we're doing there is on a more reflective side. And it's in the form of an exhibition that can be, again, it's to transmit information in that sort of sense, but one thing it does is tries to relate what's happening in the health cuts, in the hospital closures, to the wider social and political context. It tries to show what's behind the government policies of the health cuts, how these are being manipulated by outside forces. And it also provides a form of reference and hopefully will be of some use to other campaigns. Because we try and pinpoint the thing. First of all, the way the campaign has developed, the obstacles it came across, the particular things it had to fight, such as dirty tricks by the authorities, for example, to show how it created public support, etc. And so that is on another side of the work. The way we are carrying on this is working less specifically with one hospital, but working in conjunction with the Trades Council in the area. And the Trades Council is a body which is set up with representatives from the unions. And what it does is it organises and coordinates union support and union activity, so that where, for example, in the health service, you might get three or four different unions represented. You will get them coming together in the Trades Council. And the Trades Council is also concerned with coordinating the unions, not just in terms of, for example, monetary things like trying to get better wages, but also in more sort of social and political areas. So we are trying to work with them to look very critically at the health service, at the cuts in the health service and the state of the health service in the East End generally. To pinpoint and to go in more depth into what is happening and why there is a need, why the cut shouldn't take place. And then this will be issued in some form of easily accessible form, not necessarily just leaflets, which a lot of people just don't read, especially people not used to reading anything which is an alternative. They're used to reading their straightforward sort of papers, etc. But probably in the form of prints or posters, which can be issued in a series and can be distributed and distribute information about what's going on here, but can also be very accessible to people, local people in the area.
Can you say something more about the organization of the campaign in the hospital issue?
Yes, the campaign started, strangely enough, outside the hospital. What happened is that the rundown of the health service has been very gradual, and in terms of this particular hospital in Bethnal Green, plans were obviously going ahead up to 7 years ago, and gradually various departments have been moved out of the hospital. The thing that triggered off the campaign, in fact, was when one of the women in the laundry, and the laundry was going to be obviously be one of the first to be cut, the first departments to be cut in this close down, and people in the laundry were interviewed about where they would go and work in a year or so's time. Well, no, not even a year or so. I think it was a few months' time. It was very short. And one of the shop stewards in the laundry went to visit her local GP and mentioned to him, "Did you know that they're gradually closing down departments in the hospital with a view to closure?" Which he didn't know, because no information had been given out at all. And then the GPs started to organise, because they are very concerned, obviously, that if they can't get their patients into hospital. So they're quite involved in the issues with the health workers in the hospitals. And they started to form, to get together on some meetings and to just try to form a policy about what they should do. So initially it started really outside the health workers, outside the hospital health workers. But once the issues had been talked about and they actually found out some of the information that had been kept hidden or had not been made public, it became very obvious the hospital was going to be closed. And in fact, it turned out that they were going to close casualty, which was one of the most important departments, within the next few months. So the next thing that happened is that health workers from the hospital then became involved. And what was quite hopeful in terms of this campaign.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This program was produced by the Center for Experimental Art and Communication in Toronto. For Radio Close, June 1978.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Music by the Diodes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Interviewer, Amerigo Maras. Editing, Suber Corley.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
For more information, contact the SEAC, 15 Duncan Street, Toronto, Canada, M5H 3H1.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.